Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to The New World Next Week, where, of course, you can find everything you need at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, holy free holies, there's a new pope of I don't care, and that's what everybody's talking about in the world right now as I come to you March 13th, 2013. James, let's turn back, as we do so often here, to issues of health, and it has now been 2 years since the disaster at Fukushima. The two-year anniversary of Fukushima, and the accident is not contained. This punchy, great piece from WashingtonsBlog.com you can also find at FukushimaUpdate.com. Nuclear expert Arne Gundersen said that the containment vessel at Fukushima Reactor 2 has a large crack in it. Reactors 1, 2, and 3 are all exploded. The BBC reported that, quote, they know very little about what's going on inside reactors 1, 2, and 3, and they really don't know what the state of the reactor core is. Indeed, there's no containment at Fukushima. Large quantities of radiation are still leaking into the Pacific Ocean. The operator of the Fukushima plant says that it's impossible to keep storing radioactive water in the tanks, and that TEPCO will need to intentionally dump it into the ocean eventually. The area around Fukushima has become so contaminated that even the trees are radioactive, and Tokyo is almost as irradiated as Fukushima. The AFP notes that beachwalkers are likely to encounter a disturbing but relentless flow of flotsam from Japan for years to come. And sidebar, I can speak to that here in Oregon on the Pacific coast. American sailors were exposed to massive doses of radiation. Conditions were so bad that they considered suicide. Many of these good men and women are now really sick. Both the Japanese and the American governments have abandoned them, however. TEPCO might not even meaningfully start work to decommission the plants until the radiation level drops, which would be decades from now, or when the technology miraculously appears to clean it up. It's now been officially admitted that the accident was caused by the collusion between government and nuclear industry. Even a worker at Fukushima Nuclear Plant succinctly notes, even an elementary school kid knows that TEPCO always lies. We have been fooled by the government. We don't mean to pick on Japan. After all, the American government is even dictating some nuclear policy in Japan. American reactors are even more dangerous than Fukushima. And a secret report confirms that Southern California Edison, Con Ed, knew of major problems at the San Onofre nuclear plant, but went ahead and let the slipshod expansion and remodeling project continue anyway. James, we also have another link to, again, your own FukushimaUpdate.com about some of the protests on the radioactive second anniversary of Fukushima. James.
Absolutely. Again, this is a great short piece by Washington's Blog. It's well researched and well linked, as all his work is. So I hope people will get that article and send it out. I know a lot of people have retweeted it from Fukushima Update, so I'm glad to see that. It is important to keep this in mind, and it is important to realize that the problem certainly has not been solved. It is not contained. It is not going away anytime soon. They're estimating 30 to 40 years for the cleanup alone, and that, of course, doesn't mean that that would get rid of what's actually happening in the reactors themselves. That will be going on for tens of thousands of years. So this is an ongoing nightmare, and it still is a problem. And unfortunately, whatever impetus or motion there was in the Japanese public towards actually changing off of nuclear power seems to be dwindling. There were some impressive protests there in Tokyo just leading up to the 311 anniversary. But they were, they seem to have been a more of a one-time thing than the weekly thing that we were seeing last year with the hundreds of thousands marching out onto the streets. And now that we have the new Abe prime ministership here, it looks like it's just going to be stay the course with nuclear. And the plan, at any rate, is to start switching the nuclear reactors back on here. So this is still a battle, and it is important to remember that the official reports themselves note that this is not a natural disaster. This was a man-made disaster that was brought about through collusion between the government regulators and the TEPCO that was just a complete and total joke. And it would be funny if it wasn't so incredibly tragic. So I think we have to keep that in mind and keep in mind that it was this government nuclear industry nexus that caused this problem, and that's the exact same nexus that exists in every single country that has a nuclear power industry, because that's exactly how nuclear power thrives, and that's exactly why we as a civilization, as a species, can't afford to keep doing this. We have to start looking for alternatives, and I have discussed that on the podcast before, so I hope people will check that out and get behind the movement to try to get rid of this this power from whatever country you might be in that has it.
James, and it's funny, even when you sort of put it that way, it reminds me that it is man-made, because even then the way that we refer to it, we don't refer to it as, oh yeah, it's been the second anniversary since the massive earthquake. We refer to it as Fukushima. That's the man-made disastrous part of it. So I think even in our language and the way we talk about it is kind of telling about what really went down. Our second story, James, I wouldn't have believed it had you not sent it to me late last night. We'll take it from the Seattle Times. As the United Nations says, Colorado and Washington's legal pot violates drug treaties. A United Nations-based drug agency urged the United States government on Tuesday, March 12th, to challenge the legalization of marijuana for recreational use in Colorado and Washington, saying the state laws violate international drug treaties. The International Narcotics Control Board, the INCB, made its appeal in an annual drug report. It called on Washington, D.C. to act to, quote, ensure full compliance with the international drug control treaties on its entire territory, end quote. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said last week that he was in the last stages of reviewing the Colorado and Washington state laws. Holder said he was examining policy options and international implications of the issue. Marijuana is still illegal under federal law. The federal government could sue the states over legalization or decide not to mount a court challenge. Washington and Colorado became the first states to pass laws legalizing the recreational use of marijuana in last fall's elections. You may recall, of course, we reported it here for you on New World Next Week. In closing, the United Nations report also cited prescription drug abuse as a continuing problem, as well as the emergence of so-called designer drugs that are engineered to fall out of the scope of existing drug controls. James, this is one of those amazing cases where you can actually get the report and download it. So we'll provide that link for you, the INCB Annual Report 2012, and a nice little piece from opednews.com. The International Narcotics Control Board strains its limited credibility with its latest report, James.
Well, that's a good way of putting it. I got this report from Cameron, who wrote in with a link to this. And so thank you to Cameron for that. And Cameron noticed this story because he had just finished listening to my international law podcast. And then, lo and behold, the UN is arguing that the United States should be intervening in its own states to try to strike down these laws. It is a ridiculous situation, and I hope it goes to make the point that I was trying to make in that episode, that freedom is not gaveled down by a judge in a courtroom. It is something that you have by virtue of your existence as a human being. It does not come from a courtroom. It has nothing to do with these courts of law that they've set up. It's something that we know that is inherent to the moral nature of humanity itself. And when you start giving away that power and start acquiescing to that, it can be just arbitrary. A court can rule that it's legal one week and illegal the next, and men in uniforms with shiny badges can come on your door and lock you in a cage for doing that activity. It is a ridiculous state of affairs. It is untenable. This is why we have to, I think, reject the courts of law as they've been set up generally. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to consign yourself to being put in that cage. I mean, everyone has to negotiate with their own conscience and with their own abilities to that extent. But at any rate, to believe in that system and to even think about handing even more power over to the UN and international courts to arbitrate things, I hope this at least shows some of what you're looking at when you start to do that. Because suddenly, when no matter what you decide to do at your local level, the international courts can come along and overrule that. So I think that's why we have to move away from that system. We have to try to keep power as local as possible, and it's better not to have the power at all, I would say. But at any rate, there you go. Here's a great example of exactly that thing that we were warning about in our last podcast.
That's it. You're absolutely right, James. You could even joke and say, you know, since Japan is so irradiated and all of it seems to be washing over here to Oregon, you know, James, maybe you should just wash you over here and we'll continue and we'll go over to, maybe we'll go to Colorado. Because, you know, if it's good enough for the shadow government, it should be good enough for us. Our third story, James, this week is a somewhat positive one. Again, we always have to kind of have to take our positives, you know, where we can find them and take them with a grain of GMO salt. Whole Foods announces mandatory GMO labeling by 2018, and we'll grab this from naturalnews.com. In a huge victory for the alternative media and grassroots activism, Whole Foods announced last Friday that it would require GMO labeling, that's genetically modified organisms, GMO labels on all products by 2018. The announcement deals a significant blow to Monsanto, DuPont, and all the other GMO pushers who openly admit that they want consumers to remain ignorant about what they're eating. It's a brilliant move for Whole Foods, given that by 2018, anyone who wants to be certain whether they are avoiding GMOs will gladly choose to do all their shopping there. After all, if Albertsons, for example, doesn't require GMO labeling while Whole Foods does, in which store would you rather shop? The real story here is that everything that led up to it, and this Natural News piece goes into some of the minutiae of that. However, it's worth noting, I think probably a good turning point in all this was the 2012 release of the Organic Spies video, in which Whole Foods employees were caught on camera lying to customers about GMOs. And James, in just kind of prepping this story, I had to look it up. I wasn't sure where Whole Foods fell on California's Prop 37 that would have required labeling of GMO products. And I thought maybe they fought against it, but I think they gave kind of feeble last minute kind of token support instead of being a huge rallying cry for it. So James, what's your take on this?
I think you're right about Whole Foods' position on that, and I'm going to direct people over to organicconsumers.org that has a post, "Are Walmart and Big Food Lobbying the FDA for a GMO Labeling Law?" This came out on January 10th, 2013, right after the Prop 37 vote. And it was so basically the proposition here is that the big food companies got together right after that vote that they had lobbied tens of millions of dollars to strike down, realizing there were some bad optics there and thinking about how they can proceed forward. And instead of trying to do that in every single state that brings forward such a proposition, they decided that they were going to actually lobby for the GMO labeling. Hey, what's going on here? Why would the big companies want this GMO labeling all of a sudden? And this goes back to the very heart of the issue and exactly why I was trying to caution people in California at the time of the Prop 37 vote that labeling is not going to be the final answer to everything because, again, it depends who has the power to slap the labels on the box and who gets to decide how much GMO ingredient equals enough to warrant a label and et cetera, and whether that whole system of checking those types of things will ever be enforced. Again, I think that this power has to devolve back to the individuals and what they can do with, for example, the non-GMO project, non-GMOproject.org, that you can take it into your own hands rather than waiting for a labeling. So really, honestly, if 5 years from now, Whole Foods is saying they're going to be labeling their GMO foods. Do you trust that as far as you can throw it? I certainly don't. Is it a step forward? Is it a better thing than not having any labeling at all? It potentially, but potentially it could be even worse because they could be sneaking GMO foods into people who don't think that they're eating it anymore because, well, there was no label. So again, it puts all of the power in the hands of the companies that have been trying to sneak this into your food supply all this time. Do you really trust them and the government agencies that they have in their back pocket to regulate this? Because I sure don't.
Nope, absolutely not. James, and I think virtually overnight, who became the biggest seller of organic food in America? But Walmart. So of course they're gonna get out in front of this issue. James, we could probably just do a monthly kind of food and health episodes. Maybe we can carve out some time. We should try and look into that in the future.
I agree. It's absolutely vital to what's going on. And it is, again, one of those things where all of the power really does rest in our hands. We really can take it literally into our own hands and to get around this whole food system that's being put around us. And it's so important that we start thinking about this now before it's all hardwired into our society.
James, you're absolutely right. In closing, we'll, as always, remind folks that all of these sources that we mention, all of the news stories, we'll include them in the show notes so you can go do more research on your own. We're by no means sitting here on our high horses that we know it all and we're telling it to you. This is educational for us. That's, James, that's why we do this. I think it empowers me. So hopefully we can share that and it empowers you guys, because that's what this is all about. So in closing, James, I'll just mention that for all your needs of paranormal popes and occult comets, come over to Ground Zero, where I work as producer.
And on the note of the Corbett Report, I'm going to be having a podcast episode talking about solutions, talking about pirate internet. So I hope people will stay tuned for that. We've got a conversation with Jack Blood that we'll be throwing in there and some other information. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming out this Friday on Corbett Report. And until then, thank you all for watching. See you next week.
Thanks so much, James. Take care.